Welcome back to the Kicks and Picks podcast. We're back after a week off last week. Some work obligations got in the way for a couple of us. You notice Scotty is still tied up otherwise, but Nick and I are back along with Baroques of 2 Foot Talk. Welcome back to the show. We're happy to have you, and I think it's going to be a good one. Some big matchups this weekend.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Sorry, my bad. Excited to be on. Thank you guys for the invite. I am just wrapping up my 2 Foot Talk show with Leg. Did a little Champions League action this afternoon, and Nick will be on with me tomorrow to talk some Champions League midday. So be a good time.
No, appreciate you coming back. Happy to be back. Like you said, suck. I mean, our momentum got derailed, man. International break, and then. You know, last week, like you said, work and all that bullshit, but we're back in full swing. Champions League is back. Huge fucking matchups this week in Italy and in England. And there might be something else to talk about. I don't know. Maybe if we have time, we can get to it. But I heard a coach got fired today.
Yeah, I have plenty to say on that, but we'll save it. We'll kick off with Champions League since I don't get to watch a lot of these midweek matches, especially when it's not Roma playing. You guys get to kind of get into it. So anything that jumped out at you, the first two, it's match days. I mean, it's weird having Thursday Champions League action tomorrow. We could even dabble in that a little bit for anybody who's watching live, but
it's fucking awesome.
Anything jump out these first two matches from, I mean, days of matches, I should say, it's not match days. Besides, you know, Bayern dropping a touchdown and a safety on whoever that poor team was that they're playing. I mean, Dynamo. Yes. Yeah, Zagreb. Yeah.
You want to start, Nick?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say that first and foremost. Anybody that knows me knows that, like, Zagreb's pretty much an automatic over bet. And I'm happy to say that, you know, that hit four times over. So I certainly didn't have Bayern scoring 9, but good for them. Statement win for Juventus. Got to give them credit. I think they looked really shitty 2 weeks in a row domestically, came out, took on the champions of Holland, and beat them pretty handedly. Yeah.
I think it's really good that they finally figured out Weston McKennie's contract, because I don't know what the hell they were doing with that. It seemed like real dickhead shit. You have your assist leader who you're arguing and fighting with because you offered him a pay reduction to come back. You finally figure out your contract, and then lo and behold, he's an instant starter in Champions League. So I don't get the Weston McKennie hate / slander, especially from, like,
US. Because where he was born, man. You know, he wasn't born in the right continent, so you can't praise him. But 100%. I mean, he was the guy, right? I think he's got the most Champions League appearances on the team also, or something like that, or top two or something like that.
And he got him the second goal in the first half. He's looking good.
No, good look for him.
Good couple days for Americans. I mean, Pulisic scored the opener, too, in the loss for Milan.
He's red hot, and I know we're going to get to the derby later, but, like, if you're not still bad, they're still hanging plus numbers on him to score or assist, and he takes all the corners, and he's clinical when he shoots and goes to finish. Like, the fact that he's going to be a plus number again this weekend, you got to take it.
100%. Shots on target, too. He's been money in the bank, so definitely like that. Real Madrid, obviously, you know, getting back to good form, I think, over the past couple weeks. Obviously, Oaks, you can touch a little more on that, but I think good to see them take care of business. It's good, you know, this is where they go to work, right? It's the Champions League. This is their thing. Doesn't kind of matter what form they're in domestically. Champions League nights roll around and Madrid wakes up. So I think that was good. You know, a lot of overs up until today. This afternoon, I think the games dragged a little bit, but still majority of the games went over. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that in the Champions League, which I'm happy about. That's kind of my hot takes. I don't think anything was too out of the ordinary.
I think that obviously with Big Mike Maignan going down and having to get subbed out versus Poole in the 50th minute, that's obviously a major concern for Milan, not just in Champions League, but domestically and lingering in the future. I will say, look, I know Young Boys has been struggling in their domestic league for sure. They're 0-3-3 up there in Sweden. But it is the farthest north stadium of any team in Champions League. It's right up there by the Arctic Circle. It's a very, very difficult travel. And the fact that Aston Villa, who hasn't made Champions League appearances, went there. And again, it was on artificial turf, which I know some people always complain about. Was able to get a 3-0 result against Young Boys. That is tough, and I think it will have some impact, especially with the travel on them playing at home versus Wolves this weekend. But I was very impressed with what I saw out of Villa. And
they could have won more than that. They could add 4 or 5 goals, quite honestly. They look good.
Yeah, VAR took one away.
Yeah,
I want to say. Yeah, they took two away, actually.
Two, yeah. Watkins and Duran.
And that team's not even back to full strength yet. Like, I think people forget that Tyrone Mings, who shredded his ACL and his knee in like game 3 or 4 for Aston Villa, who was their captain, who Emery fought to keep on that team, is going to come back and be healthy here soon. So they have another additional monster to put back there at center back when he's fully fit and healthy. And that's only going to help Aston Villa, who, you know, it depends on where their focus is. If it stays with Champions League or if it stays on the league, is going to have a really good season somewhere. Yeah, Byron hanging a touchdown is a little bit ridiculous. Honestly, high key, Kane's kind of a shithead for taking every single penalty. I know he wants golden boot, but the handball that was disallowed for Gnabry that then turned immediately into a penalty kick.
Yeah, like, let him take
have
it.
A little fucking class. Give Gnabry a PK, especially when you're completely burying a team. The other thing I'll say about Zagreb is if you guys watched the live stream I do before, Petrovic is like, when it comes to European nights, that dude always finds a way to get in the back of the net. It doesn't matter how big of a team they're playing. Petrovic is a European legend. He's a guy to keep your eye on. I also thought Sporting looked really good. I thought that red card Gomes took was pretty awful.
Yeah.
It was a second yellow. Gomes is a young kid. I really like his game. He didn't get a chance to showcase how good he is on a national side, though. Leal had no intention of winning that game. They came out in a 5-4-1 with Jonathan David up top. They were just trying to limit the damage. And Sporting looks good. There's always a Portuguese team that makes noise in Champions League. A couple of years ago, it was Benfica. Last year, it was Porto. I have a feeling it's going to be Sporting this year. That team's just absolutely humming.
Yeah. What's his name up front? Gyarkas is friggin'
fire. He's got like 9 goals in his, I think he's got like 12 goals in his last 6 matches. Like, dude's just, I said he was plus 100 for a goal. I'm like, you guys know I like a little bit longer shots on my anytime goal scorers, but this is like when Lewandowski was playing for Bayern. He's minus 280 or longer in every domestic league game. When you get a chance to take him at plus 100, you have to pounce on it.
100%.
Bologna sucks. I think you guys, especially being Italian fans.
No, listen, dude. It was a must, absolute must win game for them. Absolute must win game, and they couldn't get it done. So there, I said when we previewed the Champions League a couple weeks ago, I said I was joking, but I said they may not get, you know, they may not win a game. This was it. I mean, I really don't think they're going to win a game.
Yeah, I was just going to say we were all concerned as like Italian football fans, knowing that the coefficient helps get a fifth team in. Like you look at Bologna, you lose the manager Thiago Motta, who was a revelation there. You lose Calafiori, you lose Xerxes, and then you lose Lewis Ferguson, the midfielder that was injured, right? So you lose the whole spine of your team, the brains of your team, like behind the whole thing. So always gonna be difficult for them to compete. I think you're right. Seeing that it was Shakhtar at home today was probably their best chance to get 3 points.
They got Lille at home, I think, like match week 4 or 5. Yeah. That's their only other chance for a win.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And like I said, when you're looking at it from a Serie A fan perspective and you're hoping your team finishes top 4, top 5, it gets a little more difficult than it was last year, I think, for Italy to earn that fifth spot if Bologna really, craps out really quickly without doing much damage at all.
Yeah, I will say shout out to Orsolini, though. It was mad chalk, and I worked with a couple I liked Harzlin from Sparta Prague. I watched him over Euros, but I also talked with a couple of my other handicapper buddies. Brad Thomas was on Harzlin first half shots, so I comboed a little bit of Orsolini and Harzlin as chalk in that early one. They both had three shots in the first half, climbed the full ladder, so that was nice. I comboed them together for a little plus 500, $5 holler, and then, I think Dortmund got really lucky to get out of Bruges today. I think I'm going to fade Dortmund on the road because they cannot put two back-to-back good road performances together. And despite the final scoreline, I would argue that Bruges almost looked like the better team for the first 70
minutes. Yeah, at least.
The fact that they didn't get on the score sheet felt disrespectful to Bruges. They have been struggling to find a finisher since they, again, these Belgian teams and these Austrian teams like Salzburg have just been insanely pumping out young talent after young talent who get signed to a bigger squad. Like Salzburg gave Dortmund Karim Adeyemi. They gave Sesko to RB Leipzig. They gave Okafor to AC Milan. Like, these are factories of teams that not only compete at the top of their league, but when they get in the UCL, they know how to perform because they stay here as these smaller clubs that get into the side. So I do think that Bruges got a real shit end of the deal there. And Dortmund made that final scoreline look a lot better than it did. And the ref did finally give a PK to Dortmund after, like, look, Bruges, the problem with those penalties and stuff like that is you can blame the ref all you want. You got to stop just falling the fuck over in the box on clear breakaways when you got men with you. Stop trying to draw a soft penalty. And if you're going to try and draw one, make sure you're at least getting hard enough contact that people believe you're actually going to ground. And if you're not, then step through the motherfucker's face and find somebody on the wing. Like, you had men with you. You should have gotten a goal there. Because Dortmund was beat. But anyway, I had zero surprises about City-Inter. I called the under on that game, under 2.5 plus 145. I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but City at home is normally more a little bit more competitive. They know they have Arsenal this weekend, guys. They weren't going to go out there and murder themselves to try and beat Inter when that's the hardest team they play in their entire Champions League draw. A draw there is fine. They'll find a way to murder somebody else by 6-7 goals. They weren't going to do that against Inter.
For sure.
Yeah. Let's look at quickly at tomorrow's matches, just because we got people watching live and they can maybe pick something up from us here. Six matches, Feyenoord, Leverkusen, Red Star against Benfica, Monaco, Barcelona, Atalanta, Arsenal, Atletico against Leipzig, and Stade Brest against Sturm Graz. I mean, the two that jump out at me are Atalanta hosting Arsenal and Atletico hosting RB Leipzig. I think I'm very curious to see what Atalanta does because they're so hot and cold in the league so far this year. I mean, Nick, we talked about it a couple times already, right? But, like, look what they did to Leverkusen last year in the Champions League final, rather Europa League final, right? Like, they took it to them.
Yeah.
Gasperini's going to have a plan. Arsenal is obviously very good. They're one of the two favorites in the Premier League for a reason, but plus 330 and Atalanta at home. I mean, you can get them. I want to just check what they are like plus a goal. I mean, I think at home they can definitely keep it close, but it's gonna be interesting.
You know, dude, it almost screams like an under game to me. I wonder how far ahead Arsenal is looking. Obviously, yeah. Right?
That could make them kind of ripe for the picking in a way.
It's tough for me to go out and say Atalanta is going to come away with a win. I think they'd be thrilled with a draw. I think it could be close. I don't really see Arsenal blowing them out, but I don't know. I mean, I've kind of said for 4 weeks now, Arsenal has to prove it to me, right? And they had some tough matchups. They've had a really tough schedule to begin the season, if we're being honest, and they've answered every call so far. So I still worry about where goals consistently come from with Arsenal. And I think Lookman now sticking around with Atalanta and like being fully integrated into starting 11, they're a lot more, obviously a lot more dangerous. I don't know. You know, is it a repeat of like City against Inter today? I just like, it seems like an automatic over just from like, oh, I know both these teams. They score a ton of goals. I think there's a little more to it. I just proceed with caution in that game is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, look, the Gunners obviously have a big match this weekend that we'll eventually get to. They're going to be without Odegaard for a while. That's a huge loss, missing your captain with the armband. You have a makeshift midfield here, which doesn't set up particularly well for playing an Atalanta team that is going to commit to playing forward. They always do, and they always do even against the biggest teams. I watched them play Madrid, and they played Madrid tough as fucking nails. The thing that Atalanta, I think, got, I want to say, they had a very difficult start in Italy because their stadium was getting finished. They debuted their new stadium this weekend. They finally got a home match, starting four games in a row on the road for any team in any country is always a massive pain in the fucking ass. You know, it can't be overstated how difficult it is to go on the road to play a neutral site game against Madrid and then go on the road three games in a row to start Italy with the final match being at the San Siro versus Inter. I think they looked good this weekend. I know that people will like to see them concede a little bit less, but that offense is absolutely humming. I love the Atalanta offense. I can see both teams to score here. I don't know if I like the over 2.5. I don't super want to get involved with that. I think that Arsenal's best move to continue getting results and staying competitive in both Premier League and Champions League with the injuries they're dealing with is to play defensively sound football and to be deadly from set piece, which they were this weekend versus Tottenham. I think that absolutely has to continue. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm going to take the under in City Arsenal. You guys are going to get really bored hearing me talk about that game.
Never bored talking about winners.
Yeah. And I'm not here. I don't have a problem with Arsenal's team. I don't have a problem with Arteta. I don't have a problem with a majority of their players. The problem I have with Arsenal is their fans just love to puff their chest out and talk shit to me, a Madrid fan, and they got no European hardware. Last year, they're like, oh, we want Madrid. We want Madrid. No, you don't. You're going to get baptized. And if you want Madrid, beat Bayern first. Arsenal is way overinflated in the Champions League market, just insanely overinflated in the Champions League market, because like Nick says all the time, you got to prove it. And they don't have anything to back up their European prowess. Whereas Atalanta does, they're reigning Europa League champions. So I can see an interesting game there for sure. I think Atalanta continues to get a new stadium bump. I think the line on Atletico Madrid is completely disrespectful at -130. RB Leipzig have absolutely zero teeth away. And if Openda is going to keep shitting the bed on penalty kicks like he did in international break and then didn't win them the game at home last week when he had a chance from the spot, this RB Leipzig team is down bad. And we know how bad they struggle historically, going back to even before Jesse Marsh was there. They don't play well on the road. Now you got to go into Atleti's building where the Wanda is just insane. And I don't know who the ref for this game is, but I know that they get a very favorable ref every time in Spain when they play at home, thanks to the Negari case. But that's neither here nor there. I just think that -130 is way too short. It's not that Madrid, Atletico is super watertight at the back. It's just they're going to outscore RB Leipzig. Two goals wins them this game.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think just to close it out, the other things I like, I mean, give me a Red Star over any day. Give me a Feyenoord over any day. Match week one, we've seen overs, we've seen unders. You want to get a little bit cheeky, maybe like parlay over two goals in both of those games. You'll get a decent number, but I think we see some goals tomorrow for sure.
So, yeah, I agree. Looking at that Feyenoord Leverkusen, I think there's goals there. Same Benfica Belgrade. I agree.
You could have gotten Leverkusen early in the week on like Tuesday at like -130, which I thought was kind of a disrespectful number. Nick, I know you did this show with Pavlos, who was saying that Leverkusen on the road might be a little bit of a trap, and it could be. Feyenoord's a really tough place to play, but I just think that their bench is way too deep. Whereas Feyenoord is really good up top, but defensively they're not sound enough.
The thing I'll say is they're a little more seasoned in the Champions League, obviously, and Leverkusen, we've already seen chinks in the armor so far. So not to say that the team has fallen apart, but they don't have that invincible aura that they had last year.
They're suffering from long schedule, not being a German powerhouse who's always able to financially keep everybody on their team, but has this season, and we'll see what they got. It'll be a really good game in the morning.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into the Premier League. Let's jump into City Arsenal to start. So, Oaks, you could bore us with your under, but I'll just put it out there right now. Scotty sent us his lock, and it was City Moneyline -130. What do you think about that? He's not impressed with Arsenal yet.
I said it earlier. I think Arsenal has impressed me because they've kind of answered the call every step so far this year. But here's the game. Here's another prove it game. I've said it week in and week out. I feel like we talk about Arsenal. It's not going to make or break the title, but if City win, it just kind of feels like okay, another opportunity Arsenal had to get over the hump, and they didn't do it. So eventually they need to beat City, and obviously they'd much rather be home. They're coming off of a tough midweek game. I mean, City is too, so maybe that's not necessarily an excuse, but let's see it from Arsenal, man. Until they do, I can't really go against Scotty. I think this is kind of a boring City 1-0 win. 70th, 80th minute, Haaland does something spectacular, or a set piece, or an Arsenal mistake. It just kind of seems that way. I'm struggling to see anything else here.
Yeah, I'm looking back at last year's matches because I wanted to refresh my memory, and they did go to City on Easter Sunday, and they held on to a 0-0 draw.
No, they didn't hold on. They played the worst game ever in the history of any football game. There were three shots over 95 minutes of that garbage match. I'd rather watch the grass grow.
Well, it speaks to the point of your under, right? Both matches last year went under. It was a 1-0 Arsenal win at home, a 0-0 draw at City, like you said.
Good for
terrible
them.
Three shots on goal, right?
That's not on goal. That's three shots total the entire match by both teams.
Okay. I mean, City 73% of the ball at home. I think we probably expect City to control possession again. It's in the Arsenal is probably going to have to hit on the counterattack to score at City, I would think, here, no? And I worry about the legs a little bit, too, when you think about it, because they're playing Thursday, Sunday. That's a really quick turnaround.
It is, but Arsenal should be used to it because they're a Europa League team.
Yeah. Fair enough. I always want to see it, and I can never find it. Second half, highest scoring half, -110. I always throw it out there. Anytime you like an under, that's kind of a bet that I like to companion it with. I think that's a decent one.
Yeah, it definitely gives you a little bit of wiggle room there, just in case the second half does pop off with goals. I think we know how this is going to go. This is going to be two kind of gladiators feeling each other out for the first 35 minutes. I don't expect to see a lot of action. I expect everybody to be dog tired for this one, especially when it's done. You're going to see a lot of guys making what you think are really good runs, and the ball's going to get cut out by somebody lunging a boot in there. I think City's deeper, which gives them more help. Look, Pep is Pep. He I think he overanalyzes and overassesses his own team too much. I think he doesn't know what to do with the plethora of personnel that he has sometimes and kind of thinks himself into a box. I know he thinks himself into a box. That's why me, as a Madrid fan, we own him. We own that space between his ears because he can't figure out how to beat us except for, you know, on the year we got rid of Karim Benzema, and we still made that a hell of a fight for him. Look, it's just if he doesn't think himself into a mental knot here, City win this game, and I think getting him at minus 125 is a fine price.
Yep.
I have zero interest in getting involved with a side here, but under 2.5 at minus 114 feels like a smash spot. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm not a 10-unit whale block guy, but that's almost like a 2-unit play for me.
All right.
I dig it.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's going to be a low-scoring match based on the way these teams have played each other in recent years. Looking around the Premier League, couple things, I guess, jumping out at me and just looking at the money lines quick.
Are you going to say Newcastle? Oh, I thought you were going
with I was going there.
I just figured you were jumping right there.
That wasn't jumping right there yet. First, I'm looking at United. They're plus 145 at Palace, who has not been very good so far. United coming off back-to-back wins. Is the momentum enough to, you know, sway?
They were going to lose that game and Southampton converted that penalty kick.
Yeah,
We all know it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's then not Emery a bad Barnsley look in the FA Cup. But plus 145 on the road, I'm a little surprised they're that much plus money.
Yeah, I mean, tale of Palace, man. Like a team I never fucking get right when I bet against them. But I don't hate United.
I do. Ten Hag's still in charge there, right?
Yeah. Hey, wait, I'm sorry. Let me clarify. I hate United. I don't hate the bet of United this week.
I like both teams to score in over 2.5 there at minus 130. It's not nearly as nice of a number as Man U money line, but
bit safer.
If you're trusting Man U after that Southampton game, you can just admit that you didn't wake up until the second half and then watched. It's okay. It's perfectly fine because Southampton were running their pockets for the first 35 minutes of that match, and not hitting that PK mentally broke them. That Rashford goal was trash. That goal's not going in against a team like Crystal Palace. Look, I don't want to just rag on Man U because they're down bad. And I don't want to say I feel bad for Man U fans because they did it to themselves. Because much like Arsenal fans, they just never shut up. But yeah, like Crystal Palace has hearts. I really liked Leicester last week, and I almost went with Leicester on the money line, but I gave out plus one on the Asian handicap at plus money, and Leicester team total over 1.5 at plus 240. So look, I think Man U can get goals, but I think Crystal Palace can answer. And we know that back line for Man U isn't very good, and it just keeps getting more and more injured. So, and if they like, they're playing Bruno Fernandes out of position to give Rashford anything he wants. You guys remember 18 months ago, I had to listen to Man U fans tell me Rashford Ballon d'Or, dude. And I have to listen to people say Rodri Ballon d'Or, but they know he's not getting it. So now they're trying to dick ride Lautaro Martinez like he somehow deserves it over Vinny or Jude. Like, if you don't think if you aren't giving it to Vinny or Jude, just say you're a Barcelona fan or you hate Madrid. Guys, because there's only two guys in the conversation for Ballon d'Or. It's not even particularly close. It's Vinny's award, and everybody else is just there.
All right, so you were talking about Southampton kind of dog-walking United until that missed penalty. They're plus 125 at home against Ipswich. Do you think that's a good bet at home against an Ipswich side, which, you know...
A lot of lines that don't make sense to me, man.
Yeah.
A lot of weird
I mean,
lines.
I know Southampton has 4 losses in 4 matches. Is this the match they get? They get over the top against an Ipswich side that has a couple draws since their
they
promotion.
Need to. In a relegation, like, again, it's way too early to call this.
No, it
this
is, though. It's facts.
This is a relegation
six pointer, right? Yeah.
Look, I think Southampton's, I don't want to say insanely more talented, but a little bit more talented than Ipswich. Ipswich hasn't shown me enough on the road yet. I don't know. That one's a weird one to me. One I really like is Villa Wolves. I think both teams to score over 2.5 there is great, with Villa having that long travel that we talked about earlier.
Almost like Wolves on the spread, man. I almost like Wolves on the spread. I'm almost there.
The Wolves team is scrappy. I think they find the back of the net. I do like their offense, especially if Wang is back. He came in as a sub in the second half. If he's healthy and he can start the match and give us at least 65 minutes, this Wolves offense definitely has some teeth. And as Villa's shown us, they don't start games particularly strong. And that travel back, I'm not even saying that I need Villa to win that game. I just need both teams to score and somebody to find a third.
Yeah. I'm with you there. Newcastle, I don't know, fishy line there. Everton, I feel like Everton's must win game for Everton. I'm not saying they're going to win. I'm saying it's a fucking must win for them.
Over game for sure.
Whew. Weird.
It's insane to me that Everton scored 13 times in 4 matches and don't have a win. I'm reading it backwards. Sorry, they've conceded 13 times. That makes more sense. Yeah, I misread that for a second. I was going to say, like, how's that possible? Yeah.
They went up 2-0 in their last two games and lost 3-2.
Yep. Must win.
I love Leicester at home here. Actually, my golden booty pick for the week with leg is Jamie Vardy. I was really thinking about going with Gerard Bowen, but if I can say grab your vodka, grab your Charlie's, Jamie Vardy's throwing a party, you know I got to do it. So, I think Leicester's sneaky good. I think Leicester's going to stay up, to be honest with you. I like Leicester on the team total over 1.5 plus 136. And I like both teams to score here. I like Sean Dyche ball gets a lot of criticism, but if you want to play a 4-4-2, get the ball forward and lump it in the mixer and see what happens. And you can get DCL playing the way DCL has been the last two games after being injured for damn near 3 seasons in a row. I can see. And Leicester's not watertight at the back. We saw that when they coughed up a win that they should have had against Crystal Palace and got a 2-2 draw. So I do like a lot of what Leicester has going on. I like Ndidi over there. I even like Daka off the bench. There's a lot to like about this Leicester side. I think they're going to stay up. I think Everton's going to go down with Southampton and Ipswich. Give me Leicester. I like the both teams to score at minus 145. I love the over 2.5 at minus 115. If you put those together, you'll get a plus money. And like I said, I do think Leicester can score 2 here at plus 136.
All right. Anything else in Premier League that you guys like before we jump over to Serie A?
Let's jump.
We got to talk about the London Derby, don't we?
Oh, Chelsea, West Ham. Okay.
Didn't even see it.
I like both teams to score over 2.5. I know it sounds easy. It's minus 150. Like I said, I'm leaning Bowen anytime goal scorer. I think he's the best pure striker on that pitch, especially with the fact Fulkerg can't get into the rotation. I do like Cole Palmer, but again, I'm talking pure striker. It's Bowen. I think he's the best finisher on that pitch. And then Maduke has been red hot, especially in away games in the first half. I'd be looking right at Maduke 2 and 3 shots in the first half. It really high plus money numbers because on the road, he's getting it done. And especially out there on the right wing with Cole Palmer playing a little bit more centrally as the 10 now. If he's going to continue to play far out on that right wing, he's going to keep letting them rip. And West Ham don't play defense. This game is going to be up and down the pitch, back and forth. I think we see a ton of shots in both halves the entire game. I like shots on target from a lot of different guys. I like Kudos. There's just a lot to like offensively from both of these teams, and they both suck defensively. So even though it is a derby, I like goals there.
That's fair.
Yeah, I feel like West Ham matches the past couple of years have been full of goals.
And they've scored late, like a lot of drama in those games. So
they tied in a game they had no business tying in last week in that 1-1 draw versus Fulham. Was it Fulham or was it Bournemouth? I don't know. The color scheme's the same, so it always messes me up.
whoever.
All right, let's head over to Serie A. A couple big head-to-heads. We'll start with the one that's on Saturday. That's Juve hosting Napoli. Mm-hmm. Antonio Conte returns to the Allianz, this time managing Napoli. Juve plus 115 on the money line. Napoli plus 235. Juve is coming off a big midweek win in the Champions League, but Napoli comes in rested. How much does that affect this one? I mean, this is a tough call for me here in terms of like who's going to win this match, because I think that Napoli having that rest, Conte no Champions League, it tends to be good for him, I think, in his managerial career. But Juve, like you said, is coming off a good win and plenty of rest playing on a Tuesday.
I mean, five games, they've given up one goal total, and that was midweek here to PSV, like the no business going in 96th minute goal or some bullshit. So that's definitely been impressive. I mean, you know, Bremer back there is a fucking beast. I don't think anybody's surprised. They brought in Di Gregorio. He's a fucking awesome keeper. But
we gotta ignore the fact they drew Empoli 0-0.
No. I was just gonna say they haven't looked super dynamic on offense. They've had two good halves of football pretty much all season. I mean, the first game against Como, I don't even count that because Como didn't know which way was left or right. So they had a good half, the following game, I forget who they played, another relegation team, and then a really good first half against PSV during the midweek. So you have to give them that, but Vlahovic looks lost. I don't think that's really a surprise to anybody that watches him play all the time. He's a little overhyped by Juve fans. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, he got an inflated price tag.
And they're treating him like he's 18.
Yeah, right. Excuses for him, kid gloves for him, whatever it is. So I don't quite understand that. But I do think Malta is building something. I think he's trying to integrate as many players as he possibly can, right? Because it was a pretty big turnover for this roster.
It was.
So I have to say, so far,
and they made a lot of their moves pretty late in the mercato, I'd say. Like, they're still really trying to figure out the pieces.
And they, they look pretty good. I mean, you've got to give credit where it's due, right? Like I said, statement win against PSV. And then you got Napoli, who looked absolutely awful game one, and then since have gone on a tear. So I'm saying a lot without saying much here. It's just, it's a tough game to call, man. I mean, I don't know that Juve should be like a 2-1 favorite in this one. I think the odds should be a little bit closer. Lukaku's looked pretty good. Kvaradona's looked really good. That's a dude who I didn't know if he was going to be able to sustain his output. He's done that so far. Tough, man. I almost got to see lineups for this game. You guys know me. I really hate to do that. I like to lock in a number that I like early on. Can't do that in this game, because if Juve puts out their best 11 and that midfield is fucking stacked and Koop Miners is starting,
with Weston out there,
Who's stopping the monopoly? That's really kind of what I'm trying to figure out here.
So let's talk about this. Napoli looks good. I don't want to say they don't look good, but how highly are we rating them skull fucking Bologna into the ground at home? Because we know Bologna can't play away at all, and that team's been completely gutted. And they still didn't have Lukaku at that time. So if you want to give them a pass on that, you can go ahead. They shouldn't have won that game versus Parma. The only reason they won that game versus Parma is because Parma's keeper took a dumbass red card. They didn't have any subs left, and they had to have the right back play keeper for them and then try and stop a penalty. At best, Napoli should have gotten a draw. And I'm not going to lie, I had both teams to score in that game at minus 110, and I hedged out when they got the red card. So Parma was up in that game till like the 70th minute. Then Parma gets a red. They have no subs left. They have to put their right back in at keeper. I hedged out of that bet because I was getting Napoli not to score at like plus 270 and I could make a ton of cash. They didn't look good at all in that game. Are we really rating a 4-0 beatdown a Cagliari, guys? Like Cagliari barely stayed out of a relegation.
I'm going to tell you why I am. Not that I'm rating it, but I'm looking at every other team here. Juve looked like shit against bad teams so far. Lazio's already, I mean, not that I put them in that category, but they already got fucking beat down by Udinese. It looked fucking terrible. Atalanta has two losses already. Milan, we're going to get into. They look fucking terrible.
Atalanta's only played away games, though, except for...
Right, right. But, I mean, you know, the only reason I'm rating what they're doing is because nobody else is doing it. Nobody, I mean, Udinese is the only other team with three wins. That's the only reason why I'm rating it, because you gotta do it when nobody else is doing it, and that's what Conte's getting out of them right now.
Yeah, I mean, gun to my head, I have to put down a bet today for this match. I'm taking the under 2.5.
Yeah, I was looking at that too, but it's -150. It's like it gets chalky there, right?
I would much rather be on the under 2.5 than at the same price be on Juve money line.
Yeah.
What do you think of the -2.25 at -120? Where you?
I don't like half wins. I would rather take the under 2 and play for a push. I don't.
Yeah.
That's just me personally. I don't like half wins.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the under 2 is +125, which is a pretty solid number. I agree there, because I'm the same way. A lot of time with those like -1 or, you know, or under 2 in this case, or over 3, whatever, because I don't know if I see more than 2 goals in this match. And it's a plus money play where if you get a 1-0 or a 0-0, because these teams really can't find the back of the net, you're getting plus money.
And let's be honest here. Juve's bread and butter is that they're solid defensively, and they're going to continue to be solid defensively. Yep. And you got a Conte revenge match coming in here. And if you can say anything about Napoli, it's that they're finding their footing offensively. I do think that Juve can kind of lock that up a little bit. I think that Lukaku is going to have problems. I think that Special K is going to have problems. My question here is, will Dusan find the back of the net, and is Yeldiz really finding the form that I think he is? Like, you know, he looked good in Champions League. Again, you're playing PSV at home in the Allianz. You better look good in the Champions League, especially after not making Champions League. I think that the under's the move here.
Yeah. I'm looking through the lineup and I'm like, who's scoring really? Like, who's scoring 2 or 3?
McKinney starts, I'll play Weston McKinney to score or assist. Like,
my guy.
That's my guy. I'll take him for a shot on target too, which will be plus money. But yeah, I mean, I know you, there's a reason I do another show that goes on 45 minutes before match time, so that I can show you the starting 11 and go, well, this guy can't hack it. This guy can't hack it. This is going to be the easier side to attack. This is where the volume is going to come from. Yada, yada, yada. Without lineups in front of me, if I have to put a bet down on this game right now, it's the under. And if it's not 2.5, because -150 is too long for you, I would do the under 2.25. Personally, I like the under 2 for the push. I don't even want to go to both teams to score here. Like, I don't
trust it here. I don't.
Man, weird one I'll throw at you guys, like long shot. Buongiorno to score +1600. Like, it just seems like a game where a weird player, center, a defender, back, a midfielder, something like that's the goal you're getting out of this game. Just, I don't know. That's a number that's jumping out to me.
Set piece. We were talking about it pre-show. You guys were saying that, you know, it seems like a little bit of a surprise that the amount of set piece goals are up. Historically, almost 40% of all goals come directly from a set piece opportunity. If not the set piece itself, a rebound, a failed clearance, something like that. But historically, almost 40% of all goals aren't coming from open play. They're coming directly as a result of a set piece opportunity. That said, also, you know, if we're talking weird math stuff, most goals are scored in the first 15 and last 15 minutes.
Back.
All right, let's jump to the Derby della Madonnina, Inter hosting Milan. I mean, technically hosting, right? Same stadium, but they're the designated home side. Neither team off to the start they really want in Serie A. Nick mentioned it. Inter does not have 3 wins to match Napoli or Udinese's, right? Just 2 wins, 2 draws so far. Milan, 1 win, 2 draws and a loss. I mean, Fonseca apparently really on the hot seat after the loss to Liverpool. Reports saying he will go if this match does not go their way. And honestly, I don't see it going their way. I mean,
Napoli, I can coach your team, dude. I'm not very expensive. Sorry, not Napoli. Milan. I can coach your team, dude. I'm not that expensive. I will happily move from Michigan to Italy to coach Milan. I've been doing a better job than your last two managers from my seat here in Michigan. So, like, I'll keep it light on you. I'm not even asking for a milli. Just give me, like, you know, $850,000 and a place to stay. That's light work. That's light work for you.
Yeah. So Inter on the money line is -180, Milan +400, draw line +295. And despite Inter's kind of slow start and setting out with those couple draws, I think it's for good reason, right? We saw what they did to Atalanta in a big head to head. Held City scoreless. Was that today or yesterday? Whichever day it was today.
Looked good doing it too. Probably could have scored at least once.
Yeah, so I mean, you mentioned Maignan's out, right? Mm-hmm. So, Nick, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I've never heard of Torriani, who's projected to start a goalkeeper, and we know the league pretty well in terms of players.
Good for him, getting the start under the bright lights.
Yeah, I mean, this just feels like an Inter.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember in history, last couple of years where, you know, really look at lines game in and game out, that Inter would be a big favorite like this in the Derby, that, you know, a team total would be -175. That's kind of fucking wild to me.
Six straight head-to-head wins for Inter, and Milan's without a clean sheet and 8 straight head-to-heads.
Yeah. So, I mean, that tells you probably everything you need to know if you didn't listen to anything else we just said. So struggling to find a reason to get hyped about Milan or even take really anything from a side perspective on them. You know, maybe they want their coach to get fired. This could be a.
Yeah. And that streak obviously includes a couple Champions League head to heads where they played in knockout rounds. That includes a Supercopa, but yeah, it's been domination from Inter. They've scored first in 8 straight matches in these head to heads.
That's big.
First half winner in 5 out of 6. Ooh. And Nick, here's one of the bets you like: more than 4.5 cards and 5 out of 7.
I mean, I don't know what the card line is for this one. I can't imagine it's going to be that low, but I dig it.
Yeah, derby lines are always high
for good reason. There was 3 red cards the last time these two teams played.
Yeah.
I mean, Inter. I was trying to say Inter clean sheet, but I don't know. I feel like Milan gets one.
Not with Pulisic playing the way he's playing.
Yeah, he's on one right now.
I like both teams to score over 2.5 at +100. I don't think that AC Milan gets shut out. No. I think that if you have to have a plus money number, Inter and both teams to score is how you play this. I don't know how you don't just smash Inter on the money line right now. -150. I know that price isn't going to stick around. Most books have already moved to
-170,
-180.
Yeah, I've got -180 on DraftKings here already.
Right. And I know Nick's limited to Hard Rock and Offshores, and I'm not sure where Steve's at, but MGM right now is sitting at -150. I think you'll get 30 or 40 cents of closing line value on there. Again, without Big Mike Maignan in net, and if they start Emerson Royale at right back, this
projected
AC
to start.
Team,
yeah. Their defense is dreadful, bro. Defense is
Emerson
dreadful.
Royale is maybe the worst signing they made in the last 3 or 4 years.
No goal scorer line. I'd be curious to see what like Thuram and Lautaro are getting in a match like this, but there's no player lines out yet.
Yeah,
and Lautaro was rested today.
Lautaro didn't rest today. Couldn't even Ballon d'Or winner Lautaro Martinez for all you Real Madrid haters could not start in his first UCL match. I don't know.
I got -155 here on Hard Rock. That's not bad.
Yeah, for the money line, I think it's going to close around -180 as soon as everyone figures out Maignan's not healthy.
Got Lautaro at +130 to score. Not bad. Not bad. I like Inter to score. Weird one I'll give out here. Inter to score a penalty +320. That just seems way too fucking high for a derby game.
PK way to be awarded high. In the game for either side is plus money.
I don't know. Take a stab.
Yeah. All right. So I think we agree. Inter here is the play. Another interesting head to head is your side, Nick. Lazio, even though you're wearing that Roma jersey, people might be confused. It's Lazio's going to Fiorentina. Fiorentina plus 115 on the money line. Lazio plus 210. Fiorentina is coming off of that loss to Atalanta 3-2. Your boy's coming off a win. I believe it was 2-1 on Monday. Yes. Yeah. What are you thinking here after they beat?
Hold on, sorry. Before we move on, Inter to score in both halves plus 140. I think that's solid.
I think that's a solid one considering they've scored first in H3 head to heads. I think that's solid.
Yeah. Sorry. So you asked about Lazio.
Yeah. What do you think of your boy so far?
What do I think? I'm okay with the start. You know, before the season, I was pretty happy. I was talking about a reset. A reset was needed. I'm not happy about the coach we got. I'm not happy about some of the players we got, but they got younger. They shed salary. Reset was needed. And then I go in and I look at the table like we talked about, you know, 5 minutes ago. And you see Inter, tough to put them in that category. They're not off to the greatest start. Atalanta not off to a good start. Milan not off to a good start. Fiorentina not off to a good start. Roma in the fucking doghouse. That's what frustrates me because, you know, appointing a solid coach, a decent move here or there, and you're right back in conversation for top five, top six, top five, maybe miraculous top four. It's not feasible. So that's a little bit frustrating. They concede goals every single game. They've conceded six so far. That's not encouraging. I don't think Provedel's looked very good. The defense is in shambles right now. But Fiorentina's looked worse. They don't have a win.
Yeah, I mean, they have the same record as Roma right now, right? Three draws and a loss.
Yeah, they don't have a win. Same thing. You know, 1-1 game every single game. I think they scored a couple the last one, but they wound up
losing. Right? They were up 2-1.
They were up 2-1 though, right?
Yeah, that was like the overhit in the first half that match.
So, it doesn't feel like Lazio should be this big of an underdog, but again, Lazio should be favored to nobody. So, I would proceed cautiously, but I think Lazio gets something out of this game.
Is this a match where we see goals, you think? Do you think this is like an over 2.5?
Yeah, both of these defenses fucking stink. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Moise Keane's been really hot.
He's the only guy in Fiorentina who's finding any form right now.
I think they'll figure it out. I like some of the pieces that they have. But Lazio, it's tough.
Fiorentina needed a fucking massive direct from free kick goal to tie Parma 1-1 in the opener. They couldn't score a goal against Venezia at home. Yeah. They played Monza to a 2-2 draw. Monza's ass. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we all know Atalanta's a little suspect at the back. They had a little, I want to say, first game jitters with the new stadium, but they got the win done. And Moise Keane is starting to round into form of what anybody who watched him when he got ticket Juve, he just really couldn't find because he didn't get consistent playing time. I think he is a better player than he showed.
Yep.
And we might see that at Fiorentina.
Plus 210 anytime goal scorer.
On a draw, no bet here. I don't think you're going to get a double chance at a playable number. I'm certainly not getting up at 5:30 in the morning to handicap player props for this game. But I'll tell you right now, Tati Castellanos has taken two or more shots in the first half of every game except for one.
Yep.
And he's had three or more in two out of the four. So
Tati can't hit the fucking net, but he can damn sure shoot.
Yeah. So Tati to shoot early and often. I like that. Give me his two at a plus money number in the first half. Give me his three for a small ladder. If you're targeting somebody for a goal here, I would say Moise Keane is probably one of your better looks. That said, for Lazio, what's it? Dia, who's playing up top with Tati or you know, whatever in the three behind Tati, if Tati's really your true center forward, it doesn't matter. He's playing well too. He's got goals in both of his last two games for Lazio. So both teams to score over 2.5 feels good here. I think Lazio could come away with a draw. And I'm fine getting a plus money number on a draw no bet for, let's be honest, 6:30 on a Sunday morning. I'm not getting up for that one.
I did it last week for Roma. It was painful the way the match ended. So
what happened in that game?
Yeah, we can get there. But before we get there, another one that jumped out at me was this Bologna-Monza match. I know Monza's not that good. You just said it, right? They're three draws and a loss as well.
Seems like the under game of the century.
It just, I don't know. After Bologna had to play midweek, didn't win at home against Shakhtar. You mentioned they're not very good at home, Oaks. I mean, rather on the road. I mean, Monza draw no bet plus 120. Or possibly Monza plus quarter goal minus 125. It just feels like a match that Bologna doesn't show up for. I don't know.
The draw line is plus 200. That's absurd.
That could be.
That's screaming a runner. Look, I don't hate your logic and I don't hate your angle. Are you comfortable waking up at 9 in the morning holding a fucking Monza ticket, dude? I have better shit to do with my day than to wake up at 9 in the morning holding a Monza draw no bet that ends up being a push at plus 125.
The better place, probably the draw, like Nick called out, plus 200. I rarely bet the draw line, but sometimes it's so low. It's like,
I'd like an under here.
Not even playable. Under 2.5 is minus 180.
Yeah, so, you know, you're getting like minus 115, minus 120 for under 2 with the push, which I don't hate. Look, I'm not going to lie. Brighton-Nottingham looks like a way better game than that. I'm a big Chris Wood guy. I think Gibbs-White plays some decent ball. I really like Nottingham catching Poole at Anfield in a look-ahead spot. That's the other thing I want to mention that I didn't intentionally for that Juve game and for Inter. They both got caught looking ahead at UCL. I think we all know that. With schedule congestion and just the way the next 3 weeks are before October international break, all the really, really big clubs, we saw it with Poole, or not really, really, all the historically good Champions League clubs that also still need to work hard to compete in their domestic league got caught looking ahead this week. And Bologna is not going to get caught looking ahead. They're just not good enough. But
is Monza good enough to take advantage? Yeah.
I've watched Monza games, bro. They're not fun. Yeah. They're on mute and on the low def third screen.
All right, Nick, let me have it. Go ahead. I know you're waiting to talk about it. So,
what do you want? You want to talk about Roma?
I know you want to talk about it, so
it's interesting.
You want my opinion on the whole matter?
I want yours. I want Oaks. I want everybody to get a little animated. But I can tell you that I most certainly got on with our Serie A preview this year, and I told you guys I think that Aussie is a little bit of a fraud here. Fell off a cliff towards the end of last year. Probably wasn't ready. Got on with the Calcio guys this week on Monday. I said kind of the exact same thing. I said, you know, I think Roma fans expected a little bit too much from him. Now I think he's put in a bad spot. I'm not, you know, let's
oh, not, yeah, 100%.
You can get into that, right? The team is a little bit in shambles, and I've argued many times that I don't think their ambitions are in the right place, or their ambitions match the moves that they're making. But yeah, dude, I mean, not just him. You talk about all these guys, and if you're a fan of Italy, if you're Italian, if you're a fan of Serie A, you have this outlook on these guys, right? De Rossi, Pirlo, Grosso, Gattuso, Pippo Inzaghi. They all fucking suck as coaches. Cannavaro, another one. These guys, phenomenal players. Won World Cups, world-class players. They fucking suck as coaches. De Rossi's no different. Weird saga with the team. Are you keeping Dybala? Are you not? What's happening? You know, they needed to get rid of Mourinho. I get that, but Stu's just not a good coach. Like he wasn't ready for this assignment, plain and simple. So he's got to accept some of the blame. Do you give him an extension and fire him right away? Are you paying two or three coaches right now? That's another question entirely, but let's not pretend that De Rossi is a scapegoat either.
Yeah. So I had my reservations about the hiring when the move was made. I always wanted him to come back and manage Roma when I saw he wanted to become a manager at some point. I didn't think it was going to be so quickly. But because they were firing Jose Mourinho, who was loved by the fan base after delivering the Conference League and nearly delivering the Europa League, had it not been for Anthony Taylor fucking blowing that match, right, and not calling that penalty kick, which we all know was a clear penalty, you know, then things went south after that with Mourinho. So they, who are you going to hire to kind of take the blame off the ownership when you fire a legendary manager with Mourinho's reputation and the you know, the pull that he has with people? You bring in a club legend, right, who was not ready. Look, they had the new manager bounce. He got some really good results early on, especially in Europa League, beating the hell out of Brighton, right? The Derby side, that really, they took it to him. And then he handled Milan with Pioli, and that was a Milan side that Roma had a lot of trouble with the last few years. They finally beat him, and beat him very handily in those two legs. And then, you know, Leverkusen beat him, and rightly so. But, you know, Roma came really close to forcing extra time into those late Leverkusen goals in that second leg. So the results were there to, I think, get people excited. I think the schedule congestion then got to be too much for Roma, which it has the last couple of years, even under Mourinho, which is why they couldn't really compete for top four. And the wheels did fall off toward the end of the season. And there they were back in Europa League. But the thing that kills me is you give this guy a three-year extension, right? So you must believe that he's part of your future, your project, right? And you go make, I think they brought in 13 new players, spent a hell of a lot of money based on their standards after financial fair play's kind of been lifted a little bit. And you give them four matches. I know the results haven't been great, but it's not like they lost all four matches, right? They went to Juve and got a 0-0 draw, which Roma hasn't shut Juve out at the Allianz or probably the Dele Alpi. It's been so long. It's been like 25 years. And then, you know, last ditch goal by Genoa to salvage a point in a match that Roma should have won. Granted, Roma, if they finished their chances, what was that?
Genoa also tied Inter, by the way, right, in the same fashion.
Yeah. And this is a match that, granted, Roma should have had two or three goals and the match should have been put to bed. They should have. And that's not Anderossi. They didn't finish the chances, in my opinion. Has he been, you know, tactically need improvements? Yeah, that's what you're going to get from a manager who managed 12 Serie B matches for Spal or something before. I think there's more to it than just the results on the pitch. From what you read about this Suluku woman, who is their CEO currently and kind of the Friedkin's right hand at the moment, De Rossi and her did not see eye to eye over the summer, had another spat after the Genoa match. And, you know, who's going to take the fall? It's always going to be the manager, even if he is a club legend. And I think that kind of expedited the process that may have taken another few weeks if the results still weren't coming. I just think it's too fast, too early in the season to fire someone who you just gave a 3-year extension to. You just brought in all these new players. Like Mats Hummels came,
shit.
Yeah. Mats Hummels came to Roma after speaking to De Rossi. He turned down numerous other offers. Mario Hermoso comes to Roma after speaking to De Rossi.
At Madrid, by the way.
Yeah. So you've got these guys that are like pretty highly sought after defensive free agents that come to Roma after speaking to De Rossi. You know, I'm sure De Rossi had a lot of say in the other players that were brought in the window. You know,
probably why Dybala turned down a $75 million bag to go to Saudi.
Yeah. Yeah, could be also that, right? And then I'm thinking of, like, how do these players fit Juric? Now, the center backs fit because he plays the back three, so you have some pretty decent center back, you know, quality now to play for a three-man back line. But are you pressing with Dybala for nine? How many minutes can Dybala press for? Like, Juric is a Gasperini disciple. Like, you press
fuck
high.
That, dude. He's Croatian Mourinho, dude. He just plays like that boring ass five in the back.
They don't score, right? Like his Torino sides did not score. They defended like hell. They were tough to score on. But like you brought in Sule and Dovbik, and you have Dybala, and you know you have these younger players like Baldanzi that are offensively, you know, pretty talented. And then you bring in Juric. I don't see
Dovbik's pissed he didn't go to Milan right now.
Yeah, like hell yeah, like I don't see how this happened so quickly. You know, obviously De Rossi is my favorite player above Totti. You know that, like he's always been my favorite. But you know, Totti kind of said it a couple weeks ago, and some will say like, oh, he's salty, like he hasn't been really involved in the team since the American ownership changes and everything. But like he said, like De Rossi's ended up being the scapegoat like Mourinho was, and it just happened, I think, a lot sooner than people expected.
I mean, that's my point. I'm sorry, Oaks, I'm going to let you go. I mean, that's my point about what, you know, what exactly is their ambition? I asked that under Mourinho, right? Because, you listen, he won a fucking trophy, and you can never take that away from him, right? And that's Sign me up for that at Lazio, by the way. Like, all the fucking fans just want to be
one piece of right? hard
yeah, they want to be salty yeah. as shit. Give me any trophy you can. I'm not downplaying the competition that they won because I know how hard it is to come across trophies. But you had Mourinho for 3 years. You never sniffed Champions League. Not once. Not even close.
Didn't they finish fifth his first year under their first?
Yeah, No, they finished behind Lazio every year. Every year. So they didn't.
That came down to like the final match week, though, because they were in fourth. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, never made Champions League in any case. And not that I'm saying Juric is the right answer, because I don't particularly rate the guy. I mean, I wasn't going to rate whoever you brought in, if we're being completely honest. You could have, you know, brought in fucking whoever.
No, you could have brought in Klopp. You already went through an international window where they took all the good coaches.
Right.
Yeah. All the good coaches got signed immediately when,
But again, here's the thing, Steve. Like you say, it's too soon. It probably is too soon, but at what point, how much longer do you let it go on?
Before the season? I know you can't let it go too far. Yeah, you can't let it go too far where you're going to finish like, you know, 10th or something. But at the same time, like, you got to at least get into the October international window, I think, right? You're still, you know, a couple of these guys came in really late in the window. Salamaker just, you know, broke his ankle, like, who was part of the plan. Like, I don't know. I just think it's really fast to do it. You know, you finally got Kone, who came in late. He's looked really good. He looked really good for France the other day in the international window, and he looks like a talent. Like, you know, this is a player De Rossi asked for. I don't know how – I don't know. I just –
Oaks, what do you think, dude? Because you're not a Roma lover or a Roma hater, to my knowledge. So give us the unbiased take.
Look, I would argue that Roma, outside of Man U, might be the worst fucking run organization on the face of the planet. I don't know how you have this massively overinflated wage bill and feel like you can continue paying multiple coaches who don't coach your side for years. Roma couldn't fucking sell out their building before Jose Mourinho became their coach. Jose then sold out every single Roma match until the day he was fired. Hiring DDR kept asses in the seats, and he actually got some pretty good results for you. Firing a manager like DDR, again, I know you want to say, oh, well, you know, what are we going to do? You can't let it go on too long. Roma cannot afford to keep paying this wage bill and not deliver in anything in Europe. You have to win European games. So you need to compete deep into Europa League or Conference League. Well, you just fired fucking Mourinho, who that's his whole deal. That's his whole deal, is he drags teams that don't deserve to go deep into Europe, deep into Europe. You know, and he can do it with more talent. Obviously, when you put him in a Madrid, he's going to get results. So, look, the thing here is, what does Roma's future look like other than being broke, not being able to make moves for the future, continuing to pay coaches that don't be there? You probably pissed off half that fucking locker room. They don't want to wear a Roma shirt right now. The fans are equally as upset. And this can't just be a manager out thing. Our CEO, whoever the right hand, the lady is running this. Like, there has to be sustained account. Like, Roma fans need to accept you're going to be bad for like 3 to 4 years to fix this because of your spending issues. And that's top down.
This sounds so good. Keep going. Keep going, Oaks.
And the only other team I can think that is that bad is Man U. Man U continues to spend insane Chelsea. More money than they have to try and put talent on the pitch when every good player for Man U has come out and flat out told them to their face, we don't like Man U. We don't like how you run the team. We don't like how you charge us for every little thing. Your facilities are decrepit. Your roof is falling in. You haven't made updates to your player facilities or your anything since the fucking 80s. You can't run a club like that. You just can't. There's a reason that AC Milan, nobody ever wants to leave there. You can say the San Siro is in disrepair, but off the pitch, they treat everybody on that wears their kit like fucking royalty. They do the same thing at Madrid. They do the same thing at every good organization. It's we want as much of your focus to be on the field as possible, and we will try and handle any other problem you have away from the pitch through the best we can. You know, AC Milan, you can bring your family, friends, everybody into the club to eat dinner there with the rest of your teammates. It's a culture. It's a sustained thing. That's why that's why Carlo didn't work out at PSG. PSG said, no, we will give you an unlimited wage bill to spend on talent. And he goes, well, we're not doing things good off the pitch. That's where you need to spend money. You're a franchise that just bought this team and you want to compete for a Champions League title. You don't compete for a Champions League title by just going out and buying every attractive name to you and then treating guys like shit when they get here. If you can't build that sustained culture of people wanting to play for your club, which I think Roma even had a little bit, even under DDR, like I said, you probably pissed Dybala off so bad he doesn't want to play for you. He just turned down $75 million to stay at Roma and make pennies on the dollar. Do you think he wants to be there right now? Do you think all these guys want to be at Roma? So the way you fix Roma is, I'm sorry, you're going to have to be bad. You're going to lose money. Your fans aren't going to want to come to the stadium, but you have to cut this wage bill to be competitive.
There you have it. And you already got 6 points to make up, dude. Again, I mean, the only rival you've played is Juve. So, I mean, 6 points and you got head-to-heads, right? I know it's early in the year, but
they'll find ways.
That's where they're at, man.
I mean, look, realistic expectations for me, at least, for Roma as a neutral this season, when I saw what they did with their signings, when I saw what they did with their moves, still wasn't top four. It was top six. You'll play European football. I don't think you're going to play Champions League. I think you're going to play Europa League. I don't think you're going to play Europa Conference because I do think Italy's tough. I think their coefficient will say, I don't want to say five Champions League spots, but again, look, I think they were good enough to play Europa League. I think if they played Europa Conference League, that they would dog walk people to the to at least the final eight, maybe the final four. Because Conference League is just, it's soft. And it doesn't really start picking up in action until there's 16 teams left. Now with nobody sliding down out of Europa into Conference League, maybe that makes it more competitive this year. Definitely. Maybe that makes Europa a little bit more competitive this year. We'll see. We're yet to see, but I don't think Roma was a top four side even before all of this happened and before you got negative results. I thought with the money you spent, you made some good signings. I thought you had capable players that were going to take time to adjust. I still believe Dovbeck is a very quality player. Sure. But obviously moving from Spain to Italy, it's not the biggest difference in the world, but we've seen Totti struggle with it. We've seen good strikers struggle with that transition. Hell, Morata struggled with it when he went to Juve.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a little bit of a different game, even though the Serie A game does continue to evolve. And I, as a whole, rate La Liga and Serie A above EPL. I'd much rather watch a lot of La Liga and Serie A games over EPL games I don't care about, because I don't need to see guys play 800 miles an hour, play no defense, and just look to rack up corners. Like, it doesn't do it for me.
Go watch the Mexican League for that.
Right. Or I can watch, I could watch MLS tonight where there's just going to be 900 shots and no defense. So, look, I think Roma fans and ownership and management put too high of expectations on themselves that they were never going to live up to. And I think paying a guy for 3 years who's not going to manage your team is really, really bad.
But
Yeah.
Coach, close it out with the thoughts, man. Come on.
I mean, I kind of said what I had to say, but I think Oaks made a good point that I didn't. As also the dressing room. How does the dressing room feel about the move, you know? So, and you have to remember, De Rossi played for the team not that long ago. Some of these guys played with him. El Shaarawy played with him, right? Like, he wrote a heartfelt, like, goodbye message on Instagram. Like, there's going to be some guys who are a little stung by this. And then it brings the ire of the fans. Pellegrini was told some things not so kindly from some of the fans.
Play through any sort of knock or injury for this team right now. I'll tell you that. You think about your future a lot more than you think about 3 points.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, too, to see where Yurch goes with certain players if he continues to play certain guys that are, you know, getting criticized a lot and, you know, if they fit his ball and then how the team then has to evolve. I mean, he's only on a one-year deal. It becomes automatic renewal if they make Champions League, which I think is probably not going to happen, most likely. But then you're looking for a manager again next season, right? I mean, apparently the only two managers they spoke to were Juric and Terzic, who left Dortmund at the end of last season. And then they settled. I guess they were probably turned down by Terzic, and they settled on Juric, right? Yeah, I would imagine, because if he said yes, you're gonna go to him, right, with his experience.
Yeah, because you can at least sell tickets on. Yeah. We made it to the Champions League final and played Madrid.
Right. Fact. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, as a fan, I want the team to do well. Obviously, I'm just
at home to at home.
I think they had something. I think it's going to be a really long break. I think it's going to be a really long congested window to get to October international break. And we'll see how people feel after that. I wouldn't be surprised to see some guys requesting to leave, especially in the winter transfer window.
At home, minus 180 to Udinese, league leaders. What do you guys make of this game? Somebody talk me out of the
certainly not betting Roma money line like I did last week. So
yeah, I haven't watched a ton of Roma games. You said you got up for it, Coach Steve. How is Roma at defending set pieces? Because I'll tell you right now, Udinese's got absolute monsters in the air. That's the reason they're top of the league right now.
The goal from De Winter came off a set piece at the end of the match. I'm pretty sure, if I remember right. But I don't know. I mean, it's a short turnaround for Juric to implement his ideas. I know his side's defend well. Roma has good center backs, but yes.
Somebody talk me out of first place Udinese +1 at -120. Somebody talk me out of it.
+1.
I ain't gonna try. I'm not gonna ride with you either, but I ain't gonna try.
You know me. I don't bet against my side, but at +1,
both teams to score -105. Both teams to score -105.
It's not like Udinese's keeping a clean sheet. Especially not on the road.
Yeah, come on. That feels good.
I can get behind both teams to score. I don't know. We're living in the year 2024. Udinese's top of the table. Yeah, this is messed up, guys.
Fucking three-goal comeback win against Parma, right? Down 2-0 last game.
Again, that was Parma shitting down their leg. I don't know. I like Parma. Look, you guys know even before Madrid, I'm a huge Don Carlo fan. I bought his autobiography. I read his book. I gave it to my dad. I gave it to my uncles. Even as guys who are just starting to get into football at their age, they loved it. They like his management philosophy. I like Parma. That's Carlo's original club. I like AC Milan because, again, class organization. Don't like PSG for how they treated him. And, you know, Chelsea, what he did with Chelsea was very good for what he did with Chelsea. It's very hard to work for a guy like Abramovich or whatever his name was, the Russian that they forced to sell.
Abramovich, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to work for a guy like that. And I think he did a great job with what he had there at Chelsea. So, look, I think Parma shit the bed a little bit there. I think Parma's good. I think Parma looks good enough and plays good enough and plays very good team football that they're going to work their way out of a relegation battle here. I don't see Parma as an instant drop back down like Como is.
I'm sorry. Now you're going to get me down the rabbit hole. Plus fucking 900 they gave us for Como to go back down.
Yeah,
plus 900. That's absurd.
I heard you say it week one, absurd. And then it moved to like +450 immediately after the Juve game. Fuck.
Sorry. All right. I have to throw that out every chance I get. They may not get relegated.
You guys, being big Italian guys, before we get out of here, because a lot of people won't talk deep, poor Italian sides with me, I think Venezia is going to look insanely better now that Gianluca Busio is back and healthy. I'm a big Gianluca Busio guy. I have been since he was like 19 playing for Sporting Kansas City. I think he's developed his game incredibly well over there at Venezia. I think that when Venezia gets everybody healthy, stops picking up shitty red cards, and starts playing good football like we saw in Serie B and plays team ball, that team is also going to be a problem. I don't think they're going to be nearly as good as I have hopes for Parma, but I do think Venezia is going to be a struggle to send them back down again as well. They're a yo-yo club that comes up and goes down pretty often. I wish they were still rocking Kappa kits with no logo or with no sponsor on the front, because they used to have the freshest damn kits in Serie A. But yeah, I think Busio is a really underrated player who is always worth a look for to score, assist, or for a shot on target.
Always shooting.
And that Venezia team has something in the works there.
I mean, I'm looking at them. I mean, obviously they've had a raw deal with schedule, right? And Milan took them to the cleaners last game, so maybe that skews the goal differential just a bit. I mean, Coach, I want your thoughts on it. Listen, I agree. I think Como goes down, or Como's a bad team, so could they hop them? Yes. Cagliari, I think, is terrible. Could they hop them? Yes. I'm struggling to see who else is going to be down there. I mean, Bologna's not good. Do they maintain this?
I don't think Bologna goes from.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't think
they're not going down. Yeah,
no, right. I don't think they.
Union Berlin didn't manage to do it last year. Like that.
Everton for the last 2 or 3 years. So I don't think Bologna is that level of bad. Obviously, Roma's going to climb up. Monza.
It would have to be like a Lecce.
That's the team I was looking for. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Empoli's just playing too good of football right now, and even getting this many points this early against good sides for Empoli almost kind of makes them out. Nobody's out of the relegation talk yet. Anything can happen. Injuries, blah, blah, blah. But the results Empoli has gotten against top half of the table sides in Italy so far almost makes them out of the relegation conversation at this point in the season.
So, it's going to be tough. I don't disagree with you that I think they're better than they've started off this point in the season. I'm just struggling to see who they're going to pass. I mean, it kind of has to be Lecce. That's really the only team I see that's going to be in that fight with them.
And Torino couldn't fucking beat a goddamn beverage, dude. Like, I was big on Torino money line.
But this is what Torino does all the fucking time, bro.
I know, really. I'm going back to him again. On the road at Verona, give me Torino on the draw, no bet one. -115.
If
they don't win that game, it'll be another very low-scoring game.
Dude. I'll fade Hellas every game, so you don't have to sell me on that one.
All right, I think we'll leave it there for this week. So a lot of big matches. We covered a lot here. Oaks, we thank you for coming on. Tell everybody where they can find you and what you guys are working on at 2 Foot Talk.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at BurrOaks77, Instagram as well. It would be a huge favor to me if you would like and subscribe to the YouTube at BurrOaks772, because somebody fucking stole 77. I'm still mad about that. That was like 12 years ago.
That was me. Yeah. I own it.
But you can catch me and Nick tomorrow. We'll be going live at noon, for the early matches to cover Champions League, noon to, we'll call it 12:30-ish. Cause there's only two games to cover early. Then we'll cover the four late games, live at, 2:15. We'll go take that out to about 2:45. And I do free live shows with lineups every single week. I do the EPL morning slate, the big 10 a.m. window, even though I hate it. It just gets views, so I have to do it. I talk about a lot of Italian games. I've had Nick on for what seems like every Atalanta game, except for
Rest the last plays one. Tomorrow, by the way.
Atalanta plays, so that'll be five of Atalanta's six matches I've had Nick on stream for. I do free shows. If you like my stuff and my content, tune in, watch me and Nick. Steve, you're obviously welcome to join as well. I know that midday isn't easy for everybody, but I got a Discord. It's $15 a month. I manually track all the first half shot data across Italian Serie A, EPL, and La Liga, because they offer markets for every single game on that on FanDuel and Bet365. I don't track Germany because they really only give you Bayern and sometimes Leverkusen and sometimes Dortmund matches. So I'm not going to put in the sweat equity to track the entire German league just for when they play one of the top three teams twice a year. But anyway, I have first half shot data. It's not just shots, goals. Hitting the woodwork, shots on target. I make my own spreadsheets and keep that for everyone because there's nowhere else on the internet you can find it. You gotta go back and find it individually per match yourself, and that doesn't really help you with research going into the week. So I have all that data available. I charge $15 a month for the Discord. Got some really good and sharp guys in there that know ball and love talking about it, not just with me, but amongst themselves. They make their own plays. And they're good enough that a lot of times I end up tailing the guys in my Discord because they put in the work to come in and bring and argue with me. And you guys have done a couple of shows with me now. You know I'm a tough guy to sell on some props and some positions. So if you can do that, you're a very good gambler.
Appreciate that, dude. You guys fucking heard him. You see the fucking link right there. You just spent an hour and 25 minutes with us. You see the fucking knowledge this guy has, the work he puts in, live shows day in and day out. So we can't thank you enough for hopping on with us, bro.
Of course, yeah. Guys. Appreciate you having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate it. And give us a follow on YouTube if you're not following us yet. If you're watching live on Twitter, at KicksPicksPod, obviously available on audio as well. And, subscribe for when we drop videos, occasionally dropping shorts. And we thank everybody for listening. We'll catch you next week.
I follow and watch every week.
Fact.